Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in various areas around town for coffee, tea, and conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, once again, it's so nice to be out and about, to have all of you joining us as we gather around the table with our coffee and tea and perhaps a soda. Hi, I'm Rich Hormerez.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. Yes, we're so happy that you're joining us. Just taking a moment out of your busy day to sit down for a moment. Maybe you have a chance to have some coffee or tea or a snack, and we'll have some, quote, food for thought, some spiritual food for thought, as we get into the most important thing, which is the Word of God. We're sitting here with Pastor Joe Jackowitz as well. And Pastor, you must have had a really busy time over the last week with all of the Easter preparations and so on, and then the festivities. There's so much that goes on at a church with any special events, services, maybe extra services. Do you have a chance to have also a personal celebration over Easter, maybe with your family, or what are your traditions on Easter?
We really don't have like an Easter meal or a family gathering. We focus everything on the events of the local church. We do have a church gathering. We'll usually have a fellowship meal, or we will have friends come by, visitors. Of course, Resurrection Day, which we like to call it, is a big deal for most evangelical churches in that we put special emphasis on the resurrection. So we encourage our members to invite people who would not normally come to church except for on Resurrection Day or Christmas Day. And we'll have refreshments, at least have refreshments for them. But it's not a big deal for the family, but it is for the church.
In fact, the church is family, isn't it?
I would call it that, yes. The family of God. We're all brothers and sisters, right, in the faith. So, yeah, the church is family. It's very important to emphasize our unity, our connection, our oneness with one another in the Church of Christ.
Now, Pastor Joe, you mentioned about those that are casual attendees that come during Easter time or during Christmas. They attend. The churches seem to be pretty packed or more than usual. And then they leave and they say, check, I've committed my bi-yearly pilgrimage. So what would you say to those people who come on a casual basis? Does going to church on these holidays alone put us in good standing with God?
No, it doesn't. There's a lot of people in hell who went to church every Sunday. God isn't looking at the frequency of your church attendance as the grounds of your faithfulness to Him or any religious works for that matter. We're not accepted by our works, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So whether it be church attendance or giving financially or doing good deeds, we are not measured by what we do for God. We are judged by whether we are covered in the blood of Christ, whether Christ's righteousness has been imputed to our account. So, yes, our works are important as they show the evidence of our relationship with God, the evidence and fruits of our faith, but they do not form part of the ground of our acceptance with God. They're the fruit. But people going to church every Sunday, it's good to go to church. The Word of God, as it is preached and taught.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if we're not saying that going to church is bad. In fact, it's very good, but it's not what, quote, gets you into heaven. In fact, you see on a lot of tracts, it might say, if you died today, do you think you would go to heaven? So you were just getting into that. What does put us in good standing with God that would assure us that we would be spending eternity with Him?
It does not put us in good standing with God. Nothing that we do or nothing that we are does. We need the transferred righteousness of Christ applied to our account to be accepted by God. So our good standing and our good status with God depends on being covered by the righteousness of Christ. The Bible talks about that there is no good thing dwelling within us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So nothing about ourselves is acceptable to God except what we receive from Christ in terms of his righteousness and his perfect record of keeping the commandments credited to our account. So that's our standing.
Yeah, in fact, that's what Easter's all about, isn't it? I mean, people might have learned that what Easter is about or how it started was in recognition of Jesus going to the cross, dying, and then they may understand if they've been to the service or learned that he rose again. In other words, he came alive again. So they may say, okay, I understand about Easter now. Jesus went to the cross, he lives again. But how does that apply to me? What does that mean to me?
Well, it requires revelation from God. It requires understanding and awakening. For a person to derive any meaning from Jesus and his work on the cross and his resurrection, they need the Lord to put it in their hearts to desire him. So there are seekers and searchers for truth, but most people are not interested in Jesus. They see him as a religious figure, a revolutionary figure, a good man, but they have no personal interest in him until they have a need, a crisis that comes up that causes them to think about the meaning of life and wanting to be forgiven of their sins and wanting to find an answer that would take away the guilt that they feel every day from their sins. So Jesus and his resurrection, his death on the cross, his ascension to heaven, it means nothing to most people in a personal way until they have a need for answers about the meaning of life and where are they going in the future? What does their life mean? Where will they be when they die? Why do they feel all this guilt? When a person starts getting aroused and awakened to those kinds of moral, eternal questions, then they will begin seeking for answers. And Jesus has his hands out beckoning people to come to him, to seek the Lord while he may be found. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The answer is in Christ, a personal, saving relationship with Jesus Christ, and not with religion. But it begins with being awakened to your need for salvation.
You know, going back to that question that Bobby asked on that track, if you died today, do you know if you would go to heaven? There are a lot of people that say there are many paths that lead to heaven. Why do you insist that Christ is the only way?
Many are taught in college that there are many roads that lead to the same destination. There are many roads that lead to God, or there are many religions that end up at the same destination. But that's not true. The Bible teaches emphatically and boldly that there is only one way to heaven. That is through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Savior, whom the Father sent into the world to save sinners. And all of these competing religions cannot follow through with what they promised. They promise people forgiveness and salvation and a way to heaven, but their view of that is through their works. Christianity is the only religion that teaches that salvation is by grace through faith. That is based on what God gives to us as a gift and not based on what we earn. So there are not many roads to heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ, based on the grace of God, based on the atoning death, the vicarious suffering and death of our Lord Jesus on the cross. That is the only way. It may appear to be brazen and bold and arrogant to some people, but it's always been the case that the true God of all creation in the person of Jesus Christ is the only road to heaven.
What bothers people about that a lot who have not been drawn by God or their eyes haven't been opened yet is that they think that that's so discriminating, that God doesn't care about those other people who are in other religions, and they would believe that we're saying that God is turning his back on everybody else. But in fact, doesn't the Bible say that God has children throughout the world, and that would include in other religions? But his children will have their eyes open to the fact that salvation is through Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. God does not discriminate. Anyone can be saved regardless of gender or age or financial status, educational status. God saves people from every different culture, every different social class. So he does not show favoritism towards any one individual. The Bible teaches also that he gives everyone a chance to be saved through three different witnesses that come to everybody in the world, regardless of where they live, in the city or in rural areas or in uncivilized jungles. God says that through the witness of conscience, through the Word of God itself, the teaching of the Bible, and through the creation, people are being shown every day that the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God of our conscience, and the God of God's Word, which convicts us in our heart, proves through these evidences that he is the only true God and that he is the only true way. So instead of discriminating against other religions or people of other religions, God comes to us with the truth, proving that he is the way, proving that through his power or the changed lives of other believers to give them freedom and victory over their sins and to live a holy life and a godly lifestyle proves that his way is the only way. Through the changed lives of so many countless millions and millions of people through the years, all confessing the same thing, that Jesus is the only way, and that the power of the Holy Spirit is the only foundation upon which we can permanently have our lives changed, proves that the God of the Bible is the only true God. And God beckons and invites anyone who wants to be saved, regardless of your background. But if you do come to him, he will prove to you through his fulfilled promises, through his word, that he is the only way to heaven. That's not arrogance, that's the truth. If God would present his teaching and his gospel any other way, he would be denying himself. He would be denying what he has already taught in the Bible. He cannot be true to anything but to himself.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Now, during Easter, with all these people coming to church, there are those where the seeds fall on good ground. The Lord may have drawn people to himself for the first time, or those who have grown distant may have their faith renewed. So now what? What advice would you give them as a next step for those that are new believers or those that have had their faith renewed in Christ?
Good question. For new believers or for older believers who are returning to the Lord after a time in the wilderness, the important thing is to persevere in the faith. When you read the book of Hebrews, the Israelites were given as examples of the need to be steadfast and consistent, because it's not how you start that matters, it's how you finish. There's a lot of people who start off good, as the parable of the sower mentions that you indicated, but they eventually fall away from the faith. These people prove that they were never saved to begin with. But there are a lot of true believers who have just come into the faith and don't realize the battle that is ahead of them. And part of the battle not only is against Satan and his forces, but it's the battle to be faithful, to stay true to the Christian faith every day of your life until the end of your life. Jesus said that he that endures to the end shall be saved. And it is a sign of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us that no matter how many times we backslide or struggle in the faith or are untrue and disobedient, the Lord receives us back. He actually leaves the sheepfold, goes out and finds us where we're struggling, and he grants us repentance leading to life. But to the older believers who are struggling, it's important to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who restores us. He says, if you will return to me, I will return to you. He always lives to make intercession for us. That means in his role as our high priest, he is always there to receive us back to himself from a time of lukewarmness or dryness spiritually. He is always there, not just to keep us in the faith, but to bring us back from a time of sliding backwards. Doesn't mean we're not saved, but all believers struggle. They fluctuate in their faithfulness up and down. Doesn't give us an excuse. The Bible says, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But as believers, we need to be reminded of the centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ, the importance of our Lord's high priesthood, the critical nature of him caring about us, loving us, never leaving us nor forsaking us. He says nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So as our priest who always intercedes for us, prays for us, he is there to receive us back. Anytime we fall away from him for a day or more, he is always there to receive us back. For new believers, they need to connect with believers who are older in the faith. They need to be discipled. They need to understand the importance of being consistent and faithful day in and day out. They need to establish habits and patterns of consistency in walking with God, in using the means of grace, that is Bible reading, Bible meditation, prayer, going to church. They need to get established in the basic disciplines and doctrines of the Christian faith. That's really important for new believers.
Maybe you should run by that list again, because those are the things, aren't they, that are really going to strengthen their faith and help them to grow. Could you mention those again?
Yes, God has ordained and chosen and designed certain means to help us grow and mature in the Christian faith. If we don't use those means, then we're not going to mature. We don't grow by osmosis as Christians, spiritually speaking. It doesn't just happen.
And, you know, we really want that as humans, don't we? I mean, especially these days, people are always looking for shortcuts. But to grow in your faith, you really have to go through the strengthening steps that take you there.
Yeah, American Christians in particular struggle a lot because we have such busy lives and we all have our daily checklists and we have a lot of competing activities with our time that is supposed to be devoted to the Lord. First of all, God chose his word, the Bible. He says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So being cleansed and growing and maturing and being sanctified in the faith comes through reading the Bible, not just reading a verse or two to salve our conscience that we did our duty and now we can. No, but we need to read the word in a way that penetrates our hearts and wakes us up and helps us come back into contact with Jesus Christ himself. The written word renews the grace of God through the living word, Jesus Christ. So we need to read and meditate on the scriptures until we sense the Lord Jesus is having contact with us. He's dealing with us. And so you need to read the word in a way where God feeds you. He nourishes your soul. He speaks to you in a powerful way. The joy of the Lord is renewed in your heart. God's spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are his child, and peace returns to you. You need to pray every day. Prayer is so critical. When we read the Bible, God talks to us. But when we pray, we talk to God. And there's a lot of unspoken things that God says to us. He speaks to our hearts during prayer time that amplify, that expand on what he says to us in the Bible when we read the Bible. When we pray, there's this unspoken communication between us and the Lord that deepens and develops into worship, into praise. into thanks, into this joyful experience called adoration. And prayer is very important to maintain that continuity we have with Him in worship and in this personal relationship we have. It's called prayer in the Spirit. And then fellowship with other believers in the local church. The doctrine of church membership is important because we learn that God instituted the local church to have us grow in a way that we would not grow otherwise just through Bible reading and prayer. He's given spiritual gifts to each member of the church for them to use in my life so I can grow, and for me to use my gift in the lives of the other members so that they can grow. But if everybody just does their own thing and just barely goes to church once a month, how will we be able to use the local church as a means of great growth that God has chosen only through not just attending the services, but being an active, vital part of body life, where we get involved in other people's lives, we get to know them, we get to pray with them and for them. So being involved in the local church is important for our own growth and for the growth of the other people, but also for worship. There's the corporate expression of worship that God has chosen for all of us to enter into, that mysterious time where we're all united in heart and spirit and mind, in prayer and in, you know, petition, the corporate prayer, the worship through listening to the sermon. You know, that is such a mysterious yet important time that God is pleased with when we unite together as a body during worship. So that's another means of grace that God has chosen.
You know, that's an important point that you talk about with fellowship. I think of Barnabas, how he was an encourager to Paul when he first came to faith. And I think of Paul being an encourager to Timothy when he was a young Christian walking in his faith. Sometimes we can get caught up into our cliques, into our areas of groups, and forget about those that are brand new coming into our fellowship, or those that have a lot of questions. So fellowship is so important. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Fellowship is, again, designed by God to accomplish a lot of things. Each of us are very lonely in many ways because there are not too many true believers in the world, and we need fellowship. We need interaction with other believers. God has ordained this whole concept of relationship to accomplish a lot of purposes, including fulfillment, including development of our own personality and character for the better. When we talk with other believers and fellowship with them, we learn from them. We learn experiences from them. We learn a lot of things that help us avoid problems in our own lives. It's called discipleship. It's called fellowship. And God has ordained the older saints in church to teach and to disciple just through fellowship. Doesn't have to be at a sit-down class, but just through interacting with believers during informal fellowship times, we learn a lot about the Christian life. We learn a lot from the experiences of mature believers that help us tremendously, so that when we encounter these problems, we encounter these experiences in our daily life, we fall back on those discussions. Oh yeah, I remember when brother so-and-so told me this, shared that, and the other thing. So fellowship is really important for that reason. The Bible talks about bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Fellowship also helps us to have therapy with one another in a spiritual way that gives us some consolation and comfort, that helps us cope with the struggles, the persecutions, and the sufferings that we experience in everyday life as believers. When we go to church and during fellowship time, we share our burdens with other believers, they should be with compassion responding to us and saying, brother, let's pray about that right now. They turn aside and they pray about it and together. And that allows me, as I've unfolded my burdens with others, it gives me a sense of relief and comfort. It lightens my load so that I'm able to press on. And so bearing one another's burdens in terms of fellowship, spontaneous fellowship, is very important. But if we don't have fellowship, if we're looking at our watches and we're ready to leave the church right at exactly noon, the second the sermon ends, we're stripping away 90% of the other fellowship-oriented activities of the church that God designed for us to be fulfilled and developed spiritually in other areas of our life. So churchianity is not an organization where we put our time in. It's an organic body of believers where we have to get deeply involved spiritually in each other's lives through the instrumentality of fellowship to be able to fulfill and grow the body as a local church the way God has organized it and planned it.
Yes. Now you talk about the relationship that we have with each other and the importance of that fellowship. Then there's also our relationship with God, with the Lord. And there's a big difference, isn't there, between just having belief in God and in the Lord and actually having a relationship with Him. I think sometimes people think that all is well just because they have belief in the Lord without realizing that there's a difference in having an actual personal relationship with Him. Can you talk about the difference and perhaps how you can move from belief into personal relationship?
Well, it's all the difference in the world. Satan comes as an angel of light, and he will try to duplicate and counterfeit true religion. He will leave all the religious and institutional aspects of Christianity in place as long as the observers and attendees of such a religion do not enter into the relationship part of it. See, Christianity, as you said, is a relationship. It's not a religion. It's a heart relationship with the living God, where God Himself comes in the person of the Holy Spirit to live inside our bodies. This is called oneness. God instituted and created marriage to be a picture of His relationship with Himself, within Himself. The three members of the Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, have this relationship, this spiritual union with one another, and that model of relationship has been transferred to His creatures. He made us in His image. So we were created to have relationships horizontally and vertically with the Lord Himself that cannot be fulfilled in an institutional atmosphere if it's just pure organization. And so you can give a mental assent to certain teachings of a church or a religion. You can intellectually embrace the creeds and confessions of a Christian church and be as dry and dead and empty inside your heart as any non-religious person can be. God created us and designed us in the beginning to have a relationship with Him.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the Scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. 94568 is the zip code. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. And please remember that First Love Radio is supported solely by God's faithfulness as He inclines the hearts of friends like you to offer your support. If you would like to send us a financial gift, we'd be ever so grateful. Please make your check out to First Love Radio and mail it to First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California, 94568. Or simply donate on our website, firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back at the same time tomorrow and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.